Wow, it's been a long time.
It has been too long, my friend. It's been too long. We've, in all seriousness, the amount of beer that we've missed over the duration of time from the last broadcast to today can't be counted on both our hands and our feet. But we have supplemented Pints and Pairings with some other cool stuff in the meantime. We did a happy hour show together because Joby was out. We've also just had some good beer tastings in between. We had the North Coast cellaring class.
Yeah, it's weird that, I mean, here, summer vacation, you figure like you're just going to be sitting around all day and not doing anything.
Nope.
Like when the kids are here, whatever. No, it just, when it comes to drinking, kids get in the way.
Kids, I don't know what there are a lot of things that get in the way.
Like, come on, kids. I just want to hang out.
Dad just wants another glass.
Right. Let's just, can you just sit in front of the TV for a couple hours? We're going to come back here. But it never seemed to work out for the Hopheads Head Studios anyway, also known as my garage. But we, you know, besides that, we did. I mean, after hours in the evenings, I think we did a pretty good job of tasting beers.
Yeah, it's been a bang-up job, if I do say so myself. We've gone on some adventures. My refrigerator is full. My closet is starting to build. My buddy Eric, I know his closet is looking like a small market right now with all the trips we've taken lately. Even just this past weekend, Sunday of Labor Day weekend, he had signed himself up for the Duck Duck Goes release party at Lost Abbey down in San Diego and decided it was a cool idea to pick it up, because you have to pick it up. You can't be a proxy. It can't be shipped to you. They're only doing it every 3 years, I believe, releasing this brew. But he also thought it was a great idea to not just pick it up, but to do a one-day turnaround with three other breweries involved. So we went down early in the morning. We left at 6, got all the way down to Lost Abbey. There was a ton of people there already. There was a really cool food truck as well, because, you know, I like to eat on my travels. I can't just go drinking. I got to supplement with some tastiness. Devilicious food truck. Just voted San Diego's 2013 best food truck. And I had a butter poached lobster grilled cheese sandwich after we picked up his shipment. Then we decided to cruise on down the road, and we went to Alpine Beer Company.
Was it open? I missed it.
You know, that's a whole story that we're going to be speaking to Alpine about. Their website says, yes, they're open on Sundays, not Mondays. But they says they're open at noon. Eric had information that it was going to open at 11. We bumped into a guy in the parking lot last night. He says, no, I made this mistake twice. They're not open Sundays and Mondays. So I'm like, let's just cruise out there. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's mistaken.
He's been drinking already.
Yeah. We get out there. We find the place. It's a tiny little place. On the door, closed, Sundays, Mondays. I'm like, son of a mother. That was like 35, 40 minutes of driving.
Right.
So like, well, guy was right. We headed back to San Diego, met up with my sister-in-law and her boyfriend at Bottlecraft in Little Italy, and did a lunch at Queenstown Public House. Had a really cool lunch and decided we got to make this happen. On the drive, we called Alpine. We said, hey, you guys open? And the girl goes, yeah, we've been open since 11.
What?
And I was like, what the hell is that all about? And I started putting the pieces together in my head, like some kind of, you know, Dick Tracy investigator.
Sleuthing it, huh?
Yeah. So I'm like, well, the website says noon. Facebook says noon. Eric heard 11. This guy says not on Sundays and Mondays. The signs say closed Sundays and Mondays. But when you call their number, it says press 1 for the brewery or 2 for the brew pub. And we had passed a building 2 blocks up earlier on the way in that said Alpine Pub and Grill. It's like, well, maybe it's 2 buildings. It's like, we're going back out. It's not that far of a drive. This is one of Eric's focus spots for the day. He really wanted to go there. So we cruise back out, and it's not the secondary building. It's in the same little stretch, like this tiny little concrete strip mall building, but there's like no signage. It has one little light in the door that says Alpine Pub or Alpine Beer open, but there's no direction on the other door, because there's like a shop in between these two locations in the same like stretch of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no sign on the other door that says for the brew pub, walk 30 feet, 50 feet behind you. So we were a little bummed about that. But the beer, I have some at home. IPAs are really nice. They have some fiery wings that come in a dry rub that are pretty cool. And it's a neat little atmosphere. It's like a dive bar ambiance, but with a cool brewing facility. So we're happy we made it out. Crazy journey, though, because then on the way back, got to hit another pub, right? We decided to hit Society and fill our growlers. So,
and pick up new ones, too? Did I see new growlers hanging around?
We did not buy new growlers because at the price of their growlers, we just are refilling. But they're really awesome growlers. I'm very happy with it, both aesthetically and for the chill factor and the carbonation retention. They use either the big glass ones like Ennegrin has with the fancy handle and the bands.
Right.
Or these stainless steel growlers with a clamp-style cap.
Mm-hmm.
Damn things are $25 a pop, though, without the fill. You still got to pay for a full fill.
Right.
Even brand new. You know, a lot of breweries will give you the growler fill first time as a part of the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
They don't follow that model. No. I had a little buyer's remorse when I first picked up the growlers. I'm happy that I've refilled it. It looks cool on the shelf. It really keeps the beer cold in the fridge. And like I said, the carbonation retention, after even a week and a half in the fridge and very little beer left in it, when I hit the clasp, it popped.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's a quality growler, but it cost me almost $40 the first time, and I just...
That's pretty expensive.
But that leads us into a really cool topic for this past week, and that's the growler fill. The passing of California's ability for breweries to fill other breweries' growlers as long as they can cover the label.
Right. There's a company called GrogTag, and they do all kinds of reusable labels for kegs, for homebrew, for growlers, for all this. So my guess is that companies who do these things are going to see an increase in their sales, only because people are a voluntary thing. So some breweries don't have to do this. They don't have to fill up somebody else's growler. They don't have to do any of these other things. But the public demand for this is going to be, I've got to believe that it's going to be high enough to where they're just going to have to give in and start doing it. Because if I go there and they don't fill up my growlers and they won't fill it up, that doesn't look good for any particular brewery.
No, I totally agree. And I think you and I have talked in the past about Santa Adarius up in Capitola, I believe, just south of Half Moon Bay, I think north of Monterey area.
Right.
And they have some cool rustic ales. I like their area code IPA. I don't remember what their area code is, but they've got an area code designated IPA. And they've got some really cool seasonals that Joby keeps telling us to get, like their apricot. And they have, I think, a raspberry infused.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. They don't have growlers. They had growlers at one time. They ran out. And at this point, the guy told me, he's like, I don't know if we're going to get growlers in again. And that's an expense to a small brewery, you know, a microbrewery or nano brewery that maybe they can't take on or they don't want to take on at this time. There are a lot of larger breweries that already have a growler program that are willing to invest in their brand and growlers. Santa Darius is more than happy to fill somebody else's growler if you want their beer.
Hmm.
So they're not going to turn you away and say, oh, well, sorry, and, you know, you're going to leave with a bad taste in your mouth, pun intended.
Right.
But I think it benefits some of those smaller breweries that want to get their beer out in a larger quantity or want to get people exposed to it but don't want to invest in the program of a full growler set.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about it too. Where behind me in my case, you know, I've got probably 10 growlers. I've got 4 up on top of my refrigerator, you know, and I picked the ones that I think are the coolest, although I've got caps on top of them so you can't see them anyway. But, you know, I'm tired of buying growlers, and I won't do it anymore.
I'm with you. I think I have half the inventory that you do, and my wife is already like, hey, do you need more of these to go in the closet? And the answer is no. But you had a really cool idea for the growlers you already have.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I mean, I have – people have given me growlers or brought beer to me from places beyond wherever I can go. And so I have a half a dozen growlers that I ended up – putting homebrew in. And so I've done this before where I've filled up some of my more unique growlers, and then I don't see that growler ever again, or it's years, and finally I remember, oh, did I give that? And somebody says, I've had it forever, I'm so sorry, whatever. So then the less unique ones, I just fill with homebrew. And so if somebody is here and they say, hey, can I get, you know, I'm happy to share my beer, then I'll fill up one of these old ones or some that are even a little smaller than the half gallons just to send out, and then I don't care if they come back, mostly because I didn't pay for them in the first place. But, you know, they're
it could be a great swap opportunity. You brought up 2 points that I'm on board with as well. One is in relation to the uniqueness of your growlers. I've got a couple of growlers I purchased, like the one from Society down in San Diego, strictly because of the way it looked. Yeah. I can get the beer in other vessels, but I don't have a stainless steel growler with a, you know, silk screen of the brand on it. It's really cool. It looks neat on the shelf. It's a conversation piece. But I have some other growlers that are pretty basic. They almost look like moonshine jugs from way back when that I don't really care to display, and it may give me an opportunity to swap beers back and forth. But also tying into the under half-gallon size, I've got some 32-ounce growlettes, as one brewery calls them, or I think Eric called them grenades. And the ability to be able to take those around now and get those filled at multiple locations is going to be awesome for me, because half the time a 64-ounce growler is too much for me to open by myself, because it's not going to get drank in a time that keeps it from going flat or going stale. That's a lot of beer in a growler if you're just putting it in the fridge for yourself.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to see how the growler rules change in California, and it's about time too. And you know, there's a lot of things that California is pretty progressive about, but this one just seemed like it took forever. There's plenty of states. Oregon and Washington both have these kinds of things,
And it makes sense too. A lot of these breweries, I mean, beer is living. Unless you're pasteurizing and bottling down a major production line, the beer coming out of the taps and out of a fermenter is live beer. It has a finite shelf life, and if you can't hang around at the brewery and do a taster or a pint, or you don't want to for that matter because you want to, you know, not drink and drive even at a smallest amount, why not grab a growler, fill it up, and go home?
It's a nice way. And you know, there were I was considering I just took a major road trip. It was 2,500 miles in 3 days. Actually, it was 5,000 miles in 4 days, actually, because I took the plane back home. But but the driving part was crazy insane, and I had stopped, and I'd looked along the way.
You had a couple of bumps in the road, too, that we're going
to
get to.
So, I mean, I was looking forward to stopping each night, and I had our first stop was Albuquerque, the next one was Little Rock, and then we were going to be in Charlotte. And so I was looking at these three cities, where I was going to be able to get beer, what was there, what was local. And so there was a traffic accident. There was a fatality, which stopped traffic on the 40 going.
So the pictures you took, that actually ended up being a fatality.
Right.
Accident.
And it was in a construction zone. So there was only one lane, two lanes open on the interstate anyway, right outside, 3 hours outside of Albuquerque. And so that weighed us down for 4 hours. So we didn't even get to Albuquerque till midnight, which is all you want to do is just go to bed.
Yeah.
And then the next
day, in Albuquerque is open past like 10 o'clock.
Who knows? You know, on top of it, we had to get to bed. I mean, because we had to get up, and we had another 900 miles to do the next day.
I loved your little tags, though, in your postings. What was that? Eastbound and down.
Right. So,
open up and trucking.
Right. That's all of a sudden. All of a sudden, I was singing Smokey and the Bandit the whole way.
Awesome. We had a flat tire, too.
And then the next day, we made our first checkpoint. We didn't want to – so we pushed it and pushed it, and we were just beat. But we didn't want to start the trip off already in a deficit after the first day. So we made it, and then we got out into the middle of Oklahoma and had a flat tire, 104 degrees. And then that – I mean –
Or the wind – comes sweeping through the flat tires, apparently.
Well, yeah. So the wind was actually a nice break, because there was only – and it was like high noon, basically, so there was no shade. I know there was no shade. So the only place there was shade was on a little section of the driver's side seat. And so we had both doors open to get the wind through. And so my brother-in-law and I were taking turns going back and forth. Okay, you've got 10 minutes here, and then we'll rotate 10 minutes. And we only had 2 liters of water because, you know.
Man, this is a disaster movie.
So I know. It was like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And so we were going back and forth. And then we didn't make Little Rock. We had to stop 3 hours before that because we were just exhausted.
Sure.
And so I didn't get any beer along the way. Until on the way back, I had a 3-hour layover in Phoenix, and they had a local brewery at the Skyport. And
is that the Four Peaks?
No, I can't. It'll come to me. I can't remember now.
Part of why I ask is because I just saw a posting yesterday, as a matter of fact, where Stone is working on construction of their airport location, which
I'm just
is really
gonna,
cool.
I'm just going to fly through San Diego only for that. I mean,
and that's so cool.
It's wherever I'm going, San Diego is going to be my layover, and just so that I can load up on.
I love that plan. And Four Peaks is a local brewery to the Phoenix area, and I they've got Kilt Lifter and a couple of really cool beers. I've eaten lunch at their main production facility. It's pretty large for being a kind of a hometown style. And I was hoping that maybe they were the airport location because I like that beer.
No, they weren't. It was, and I can't remember what it was now. It'll come to me.
Did you talk to your brother-in-law about this van, though? Maybe he should get rid of it. It doesn't sound like it's the super luckiest van ever.
Well, no, it wasn't the van itself. I mean,
I don't
other
know,
than
stuck
the
in
tire.
It, then the tire and the duration. Plus, it's filled to the brim, right?
Well, right. And so it's funny because, in Family Vacation, when he drives off the cliff and then
and
you've
he gets
got
air in the what, the truckster
in the family truckster, and then the what maintenance people the garage service station, and going, I ain't seen no one so shit all stupid as drive off a road before. And he goes, yeah, well, you know, we're from out of town. That's his comment back, and that's kind of what it felt like. That, you know, so we're getting this new tire on, and we're just loaded. There was probably there could have 1,000 pounds inside that van. I mean, who knows? I mean, there was, and
did
it should
have to put it on the lift.
And it should be able to hold that much, because if you're talking, this is an 8-person van, 200 pounds a person. It can hold it, but it was really low. So maybe it was even more than that, way more than what a family truckster should be hauling. So he's like, you know, even though you can fit it in the van, you probably shouldn't. And Chris is like, you know what? I'm moving across. Yeah, I know. But this was the best case. Everything we own is in this van. And the stuff that couldn't fit, we left in California, you know? And so
at some point, you just have to bite the bullet. We did a similar trip from Indiana to Virginia. My brother was living out there for the Air Force. My dad rented this van. I think it was a Saratoga, like a Chevy Saratoga. Total
safari.
I don't know. It would look like a big blue tapered bullet.
Yeah.
But it was older than soccer mom style. It just made us feel like geriatrics. He decided to call it the Conestoga wagon.
Oh yeah.
Because we had it so packed with, you know, my brother's bed and just equipment and stuff. So we decided to create this song about the Conestoga and the wagon and crossing the threshold and the country. And you just get into this mode of traveling and transporting.
Right. And at one point in this trip, I was thinking about doing – do you know Nikki Bloom and the Gamblers, how they do the a cappella stuff, camera on the dashboard, and they sing as they're doing road trips? And so at one point I was thinking about that on the first day, and by the second day, you know, the will had just been kind of beat out.
Did you ever stick your arm out and be like –
no, I didn't, because it was 104 degrees.
So. Yeah, you're already sharing 10 inches of shade, right?
Yeah, it was 104 degrees in Oklahoma, and then it got down to like 94 degrees.
Oh, reprieve.
Yeah, in Arkansas and everything else, but then the humidity went right through the freaking roof, and we get out of the van and we're like,
you can feel the resistance on the car because the humidity is so thick.
It was something.
You know, we should let everybody know, too, because we do have a couple viewers, and this is going to be posted later. This is the pre-show, Pints and Pairings. We've been away for a few weeks, a little more than a few weeks.
Right.
But we've regrouped. We've gotten some new architecture and structure in place behind the scenes, playing with some new equipment. So welcome, pre-show, Pints and Pairings. You're Curtis good. Taylor.
I am, and you're Jason Hendrick.
I love doing that because it catches you every time.
You just throw me off.
You're like, wait a minute. Wait. Yeah, actually, I am Curtis Taylor.
How is that possible? I should... It does catch me every time. I don't know. One of these times I'll get through it. But we've had a few times, a couple of times to catch up. But I haven't seen anyone since I got, well, since last Thursday for happy hour when you sat in, and then we ended. Then I left right away, so I ended up having.
You left early after happy hour.
Right. So I mean, part of the reason why I was so beat too was I didn't sleep well the night before because I was kind of worrying about this. It was a little more fly by the seat of my pants than I usually have. An end place and hotels and everything else. But we decided we were going to call from the road and see and get there. Then had happy hour. I didn't go to bed until almost 11 o'clock, maybe, somewhere in there. But I'd had plenty to drink, so I woke up a little fuzzy in the morning. And we were on the road by 4:30 that morning.
Yeah,
and so and then early. every single morning it was we get up at 4 and we were on the road by 4:30.
That's crazy. And what time did you end each night?
Well, midnight, and then the next night was 8:30, which was relatively early. And then the next night was another 8:30. But that was the last night was 18 hours of driving. I think we did.
And I can't fathom that. When I moved to California, I drove from Indiana, so you guys drove definitely much further than I did. But I moved from Indiana out here to the coast. It took me 3 days. I got on the road around 8 each day, and I was done by 8, somewhere between 8 and 9 each night. But again, you had a whole other like third or quarter of the country to cross from Indiana to North Carolina by the time you're done.
Yeah, and I love road trips, and it's beautiful all the way across. I'd never been on Interstate 40, so that was a lot of fun. And I'd never been in Texas, and I'd never been in Oklahoma, and it reminds me a lot of South Dakota, except for there's no fields.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some kind of agriculture farming things, but their season had been over for a very long time. Sure. Those fields are brown and
pretty
everything.
Desolate.
Right. And so it was flat and just, you know, if you've been driving across South Dakota, you know what I'm talking about. But
your time in the car, though, has been vast. Thankfully, after happy hour, you didn't have to worry about being in the car that night, though, because we were driving on as guests for the happy hour show. They were able to get you home safely and get your car home where you needed to be.
I did get home.
It was a cool conversation with Israel, too. I, you know, meeting the originator and the founder of Weird Driving and talking about what got him motivated to start the company, mm-hmm. and his passion was a really cool feeling to know that you're using that service each week and that there's someone really driving that force behind the scenes.
Right. Speaking of which, today is a Thursday that we're recording, which is an off day. So during the break, I have to remember to send him a text message and say that there is no show, because sooner or later he's going to say, so what time do you need to be picked up?
Well,
so,
you know, we could still, that's what I love about it. Needed to.
Well, that's what I love about the service too, is that, he remembers when I don't.
Yeah. If it's flight night, though, at Barrel House 101, so if we wanted to use the service.
Oh, I guess I could.
We could go out for a drink tonight.
Sure. Yeah. No, not that we this won't is. Have today. I'm using this as a family night.
I can appreciate that.
Between school starting and then swim team and soccer, there's like two nights a week that we can all kind of sit down. And so this is a bonus one for us, so we'll do it. We're going to take it.
I'll take it. Can I talk about one more cool, exciting thing before we shift into a break?
You bet.
I was out on that road trip, like I said, with Eric on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped at Bottlecraft in Little Italy, San Diego, checking through the shelves. They got coolers where you can actually buy a bottle, open it, and sit and drink it in their tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can buy and, you know, take it out retail style. Searching through, what am I going to get? I don't know. You know, trying to get all the shelves where it's already room temperature because I'm going to be transporting it. But a couple of things in the cooler were not out on the shelf. So I'm like, well, let me just see what they got. Maybe I'll be intrigued. Guess what I came across? I was like a little kid with cotton candy at the fair. I was so excited.
Chocolate, a bourbon barrel aged Yeti.
No, but that sounds awesome.
Okay.
Think more obscure. let's think middle of the country, and you're not going to get it. So I'll just tell you.
Okay.
What do we have from Nebraska Brewing when we were at the Firestone Walker Invitational?
The Menage, whatever it is.
Apricot au pois.
Oh, there it is.
Their apricot au pois saison. It was one of my favorites from that day, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, they had a 750 of it in the cooler chilled. And so I snatched myself one up, and it's waiting in the refrigerator for one of our beer nights.
Nice.
Because that's not something that we typically see out this way.
No, and right before I moved, Nebraska Brewing Company was making some big ins into the area, and they were we were getting some Summit, some Boulevard, some other things, you know, some larger craft brew kind of beers making their way in. And then this little one shows up that is doing these 750s. And my first Chardonnay barrel aged beer was from them. It was they had a big beer festival in Omaha. And I can still remember we were in the basement of this place, and they were going to do it at 10, and we waited in line for however long just to make sure that we got it, because they only had 4 or 5 bottles of it.
Sure.
So
yeah, I was super excited, though. My eyes lit up.
All right.
And we're kind of in a weird transition, like a almost a funk zone, if you will, as far as being in the middle of California, because Ventura, Santa Barbara, you know, Buellton, all the way up, we don't have access to some of these beers that San Francisco and San Diego do as major hubs on the top and the bottom of the state. So I leverage my sister-in-law and her boyfriend quite a bit. They only live a block from the market where we're picking some of these up. And anytime I see their postings come out on Facebook, I'm like, hey, do me a favor. I'll send you the money. Just go pick up a couple of bottles and keep them in your fridge, and I'll come down and get them later.
Yeah, we can't complain too bad because we're too much because we're getting a whole lot of really great beer through here. But there is a lot of beers that kind of skip this the Central Coast, you know, and then go down into San Diego. But what's a lot of fun is a lot of times Ventura, this area, will end up getting beers before LA does, as these people are moving down, their markets are moving south, that if they haven't already jumped to San Diego, that
referring more towards like the Pacific Northwest, some of those breweries that are pushing down south. Yeah, I agree. That's cool.
Yep.
It's exciting times.
All right. So I've been enjoying this beer so far. I'm looking forward to talking about it when we come up. Surly Brewing Company in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. I think it's
the warmer it gets, the more tasty it is.
Brookline, maybe. I can't remember. Not Brookline. Let's see where. Yeah, Brooklyn Center. There we go. Brooklyn Center. Brookline is Boston.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Center, and really great small company, and they love to can their beers. All of it, all the stuff is in cans except for their whatever it is, darkness labels that are, you know, cult favorites. So we'll take a little break here, and we will come back in just a few minutes after we get organized and pull up all the stuff.
Excellent.
Sounds good. I'll catch you a bit.